Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today we're going to be reading stories that are about Christmas and about Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a holiday that Jewish families celebrate at the end of November and into December. So, first of all, we're going to start with a very famous poem that you might have heard before. It's called, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and it's by a man named Clement Moore. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And we all know that St. Nicholas means Santa Claus. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear, but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, on Comet, on Cupid, on Blitzen, on Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, and on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney came St. Nicholas, came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it circled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying a finger the side of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." This book is called Light the Lights, and this is a story about one family who celebrates both Hanukkah, the Jewish festival, and Christmas. Light the Lights is written by Margaret Moorman. It happened the same way every winter when the world grew cold and afternoons became dark long before dinner time. One morning, Emma's father raised the shades in her room and said, "Sweetheart, tonight's the first night of Hanukkah. Time to get out the menorah." After breakfast, Emma helped him take the old silver menorah out of the cabinet in the dining room. The menorah is a candlestick that has places for 9 candles. They unwrapped the menorah carefully and then polished it with soft cloths and pink cream until it gleamed. That evening at sundown, Emma's father sang the ancient blessing. Her mother steadied Emma's hand to help her pass the flame from the Shamas candle to the first Hanukkah camel. And the Shamash candle is the candle in the very middle that is lit first, and it's used to light the other candles. And on the first night of Hanukkah, they only light one candle. Hanukkah lasts for 8 days, so they light one candle each night. Every night for a week and a day, they added another candle. Emma's father would say, "Let's light the lights," and then the ceremony would begin. The menorah sat on a table by the living room window, where all the people rushing home from work and all the neighbors up and down the street could catch a glimpse of it. Some nights, Emma watched until the candles burned down to their holders. On the fourth night, Uncle Ken and Aunt Betsy came to Emma's house with her cousins Sam and Kate. "There are strange lumps in my coat pockets," Uncle Ken complained. Emma and Sam reached in and pulled out pouches of Hanukkah gelt, peeling back the wrappers of the fat gold coins. They found sweet milk chocolate inside. During Hanukkah, kids get gifts of what's called gelt, and what those are gold coins, are coins wrapped in gold paper, but they're actually chocolate coins. Baby Kate was too little to play dreidel, but she liked to watch Sam and Emma spin the top. A dreidel was a special top that kids played with on Hanukkah, and each side had a Hebrew letter, and each letter stood for a different number. And whoever got the most numbers would win the game. When it was time for dinner, Kate tasted her first latkes, the crisp potato pancakes made especially for Hanukkah. Latkes are very good. They are potato pancakes that are fried in oil, and you often eat those with applesauce. Grandma Rose came to celebrate the eighth night. She and Emma danced together hand in hand. "Oh Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah," they sang. At last, all the candles were lighted. The full menorah looked so beautiful, reflected in the dark panes of the window. Then one day, Emma's mother pulled down boxes of Christmas ornaments from the top shelf of the closet. "Well, pumpkin, shall we pick out the Christmas tree this morning?" she asked. Emma put on her jacket, boots, scarf, and mittens, and went outside with her parents to search for the perfect tree. Last year, Emma had picked a short, fat, bushy one. This year, she chose a tall one with a branch at the top that was skinny and straight, just right for the ornament Emma liked the very best, a very fragile glass star. The tree was heavy, so Emma helped her mother and father carry the tree home. They all said Merry Christmas to their neighbor Anne. Her dog, Fluffy, was wearing a new red jacket. He opened his present early and said, "After lunch, Emma's friends Natalia and Patrick came over to help trim the tree. Emma's mother set out cups of hot chocolate and a tray of Christmas cookies. There were gingerbread men and sugar cookies shaped like little trees and reindeer, and little white powdery balls with nuts inside. When all the directions were out of their boxes and on the tree, Emma's mother said, 'Let's light the lights.' Every bough sparkled with silvery tinsel and shiny glass balls. On Christmas Eve, while Emma was sleeping in the dark house, Santa Claus came quietly and left presents under the tree. He also turned on the lights for Christmas morning. How did he know that Emma would wake up before dawn?" After the holidays, Emma helped wrap up the Hanukkah menorah and the Christmas ornaments, and they put them all away for next year. But she remembered the bright winter lights in the dark winter nights to come for a long, long time. This book is The Nutcracker, and it's a retelling of this story by a lady named Mary Engelbreit. The Nutcracker was turned into a very famous ballet by a great composer named Tchaikovsky. We always see this ballet performed at Christmas time because it's a Christmas story. Once upon a time, the Nutcracker had been placed under a terrible spell that changed him from a handsome prince into an ugly nutcracker. He believed that the Mouse King's spell meant that no one could ever learn to love him. So he was surprised when the toy maker, Drosselmeyer, took him from the shelf, saying, "You will be the perfect gift for my niece, Marie." As their car rolled into the night, the Nutcracker wondered what was in store. After a long ride, they stopped in front of a lovely house all aglow with festive lights. Before you could say, "Merry Christmas," the Nutcracker was inside the house. Marie and her little brother Fritz waited by the beautiful Christmas tree in the living room, excited to greet their uncle. A hush fell over all the guests as the toy makers unveiled his gifts. Drosselmeyer gave Fritz a box of magnificent toy soldiers. Turning to Marie, he presented her with two large dolls, Harlequin and Columbine. They danced and twirled with each other until the guests were nearly dizzy from watching the toys dance. And then, while the others marveled at the two dolls, Uncle Drosselmeyer gave Marie the Nutcracker. She loved him at first sight, but Fritz, her brother, was jealous that his sister had received another gift. When he cracked the Nutcracker's head trying to open a nut, Fritz shouted, "Who cares? He's the ugliest thing I've ever seen." Marie cried as she bound up the Nutcracker's cracked head with a silky red ribbon. "You are not ugly to me," she whispered, putting him to rest under the Christmas tree. Later, she crept down the stairs to see if he was well. In the dreamy quiet of the night, she soon fell asleep. Boom! Boom! Marie was awakened with a terrible fright. Drosselmeyer sat on the booming grandfather clock, sprinkling magic into the air. Below him, the floor began to shake. Out from the darkness came the very fierce Mouse King, wearing a gold crown and waving his sword. Marie was so frightened she fell and bumped her knee. And with the Mouse King came an army of mouse soldiers with knives and swords and helmets come to fight. The Nutcracker leapt to her defense and led the fight, leading the toy soldiers, shouting, "Charge!" But the Mouse King and his his most followers were very strong. Just when all seemed hopeless, Marie threw her shoe at the Mouse King. She hit him on the top of his head, knocked his crown off, and she saved the Nutcracker. The Mouse King was terrified when he was hit on the head. He dropped his sword, and he and all his mice followers ran away. The Nutcracker bent down and picked up the Mouse King's dropped crown. He whispered, "Thank you, dear Marie." He put the Mouse King's golden crown on her head, on his head, and suddenly he turned into a handsome prince again. He asked Marie, "Will you come to Toyland, my dear?" "Of course I will," she said. Snowflakes spun around them as they flew through the cold night into a land of warmth and sunshine. They passed through a forest where golden fruit grew on every branch, and the smell of Christmas and candy floated around them. Soon they came upon a little gathering of dancers who played reed flutes so sweetly. Each note seemed to be made of sugar. They feasted on chocolates, ginger snaps, and cakes. As they ate, dancers from every kingdom entertained them. Marie saw a beautiful lady coming towards them from the distance. "This is a sugar plum fairy," the prince said. "She watched over Toyland while I was under the spell." Flute music floated in the air as the sugar plum fairy led them across the kingdom to the prince's gingerbread castle. At last, the prince asked Marie to dance with him. As the moon glimmered above them, she whispered, "I love you, my Nutcracker." When Marie woke the next morning, she was back in her own bed, and her Nutcracker was nowhere to be found. She ran downstairs to search for him and found her Uncle Drosselmeyer. Behind him was her prince. The prince said, "By loving me despite my appearance, you set me free from the Mouse King's spell." He gently took her hand. "If you'll agree, when you are grown, I'll return and make you Queen of Toyland." And when Marie grew up, she did marry the prince, and they went to his magical place, Toyland, and there they lived happily ever after. This book is 8 Winter Nights, a Family Hanukkah Book by Laura Krauss-Melmed. And once again, this book is about Hanukkah. Getting ready. Each year we take 8 winter nights to kindle our menorah's lights. Tick-tock, don't be late. We're getting set to celebrate. Now you remember that the menorah is the candlestick that people light one candle each night through the 8 nights of Hanukkah. Polishing the menorah, rub-a-dub up and rub-a-dub down, till our menorah shines like a crown. There's the little boy and his grandmother sitting at the table polishing their menorah. Colored candles, red as a fire truck, blue as the sky, yellow as wings on a butterfly, green as a grasshopper, pink as a bow, orange as apricots, white as snow. Pick the candles you like best to light tonight. We'll save the rest. And there are the brother and the sister picking the color of the candles they want to use in their menorah this year. The first night. Now the sun has gone away, and stars are coming out to play. It's time to start our holiday. The first candle. Out there, there's snowy, blowy weather. But here at home, we're snug together. Baby, daddy, grandpa, brother, sister holding hands with mother. all watching on this special night as Grandma sets one flame alight. The ninth candle. The Shamus candle stands up straight, a servant and quite proud of it. He always is the first one lit, and then he lights the other eight. The Shamus candle is that middle candle that is first lit, and then it is used to light the other candles each night of Hanukkah. The second night, we choose two candles and light the menorah. Turn up the music and dance the hora. The hora is a special dance that is often danced at Hanukkah, the whole family together. Here's a song about that. The Hanukkah rock, sway to the music and bounce to the beat. Feel the rockin' rhythm with your feet, feet, feet. Give a little shimmy, prance a little prance. Whirl around, twirl around, and dance, dance, dance. The third night. At our window we will show how warmly our three candles glow. The storyteller. The children sit on Grandpa's knee to learn of Judah Maccabee and why each year we tell the story of those ancient deeds of glory. Judah Maccabee was the hero long time ago that lit the candles in the temple when the temple was under attack by the evil people. Fourth night. Tonight is a light for flames night. Tonight is a fun and games night. Remember now that the dreidel was a little top that kids spin, and there's a letter on each side, and each letter stands for a number, and whoever gets the highest score wins the game. The dreidel game. I'm a little dreidel. Watch me spin. Nun, gimel, hay, and shin. The way I fall tells who will win. Dreidel chase. I had a little dreidel, and I made it out of clay. But baby grabbed my dreidel, and now I cannot play. Let's catch that naughty baby. Oops, baby got away. The fifth night. It's so hard to wait till the cousins arrive to help light the candles on night number five. They're here. Bring goes the doorbell, and in rush the cousins. Wild ones, noisy ones, there must be dozens. What a commotion, what a delight, when cousins come calling this Hanukkah night. Golden coins. Chocolate coins, Hanukkah gelt. Munch them fast before they melt. The sixth night, sizzling latkes, such a treat, with applesauce so cool and sweet. Let's light six candles, and then we'll eat. Latkes frying in the pan, latkes on your plate, latkes for the family who ate and ate and ate. And applesauce, applesauce, applesauce on your nose, applesauce up, applesauce on your toes. Applesauce, applesauce on your thumb. Applesauce, applesauce in your tummy, tum, tum. Applesauce, applesauce, we like it best. Applesauce, applesauce, east to west. Applesauce, applesauce, north to south. Here comes the applesauce, open your mouth. Here's the whole family, including Grandpa and Grandma, eating the potato pancakes, which are called latkes, and the applesauce that goes with them. On the seventh night, seven candles burning bright, sending all the world a gift of light. Opening presents. Sister got a painting set. Brother got a model jet. Baby got a teddy bear and sat it on her potty chair. Think of that. Tzedaka. We save our coins up in a jar to help our neighbors near and far. The word tzedakah is the word that they call collecting money, especially to help people that don't have as much as they do. The eighth night. Eight blazing candles stand up tall on this, the brightest night of all. though Hanukkah ends now, it is true. And next year we'll celebrate Hanukkah anew. Good night. The snow is white. The stars are bright. The family is sleeping tight, wrapped in dreams of candlelight. Next, we're going to read Mouse's First Christmas by Lauren Thompson. 'Twas a night still and starry, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, just one little mouse. Mouse was peeking all around to see what good things could be found. Up on the table, Mouse found something sweet and sparkly. It was a Christmas cookie. In fact, it was a whole plate of Christmas cookies. And something warm and melty and delicious smelling. It was hot cocoa. Yum, yum. A whole cup of it. And something cool and very sticky. It was a candy cane. Next to the window, Mouse found something jingly and glinty. It was a jingle bell. Here's a whole bunch of bells strung together on a string right over the window. And something bright and flickery. It was a beautiful Christmas candle. And something fine and silvery. It was a Christmas angel. High up on the mantle, little Mouse felt something soft and felty. It was a stocking, and here he is trying to climb up the stocking to see if there's anything inside. He's never seen anything like it before. And something white and floaty. It is a snow globe. And something tinkly and twirly. It's a music box. And there in the corner, Mouse found something tall and prickly. It was a Christmas tree. A Christmas tree with beautiful decorations and lights and all sorts of tinsel and something boxy and ribbony. Lots and lots of them. Christmas presents, and then Mouse found someone whiskery and jolly. It was Santa, and Santa whispered, "It's your very first Christmas," and all through the house, no one is loved more than you, little mouse. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen to it next time. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.